Good to see everyone this morning. As you're visiting with us, we're very happy that you're be with us this morning. We invite you to come every opportunity that you have to do so. As has been announced, we are anticipating the beginning of our gospel meeting next Sunday morning with Jim Deason. It was announced about the meal list being posted back there. Just want you to be aware that his wife is coming with him. So if you're preparing meals, you want to take that into account. In light of that, I thought it'd be good for us to notice the Great Commission of Christ in Mark 16 and verses 15 and 16. He said to his apostles, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." The gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. As Andy pointed out to us this morning from Romans chapter 5, Jesus paid the price of our sin. Romans 6 and verse 23 teaches us that the wages of sin is death, separation from God. But Jesus died for our sins. When there was no cause of death in him, having never sinned, but he died to take our sin away, paid the price for our sin in his death. For as Romans chapter 5 teaches us, if the consequence of Adam's sin was that death passed upon all men, then the consequence of the death of Christ is that life is made available to all men. Reconciliation to God, redemption is made possible through the death of Christ. Good news. Preach the gospel to everyone. You don't have to pay the price of your sin. Jesus has paid that price for you. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. How many people were assembled when Jesus said that? 120 or so? He was speaking primarily to his apostles, but relatively speaking to the whole world, go into all the world, very few. You, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Well, because we've all separated ourselves from God by our sin. Everyone needs to be saved. And they need to hear, believe, and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ to have this salvation. Believe and be baptized and be saved. In Acts chapter 8 and verses 1, or Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he said it this way to the apostles just before he would depart from them. He says, "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." In Acts 17 and verse 6, Paul and Silas have come to Thessalonica and have preached the gospel there in the synagogues among the Jews. And some of those who were rejecting the gospel now begin to complain and says, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here to Thessalonica also." And finally, we notice Colossians 1 and verse 23 says, "Continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and do not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, am made a minister." The gospel was preached to every creature. it was taken into all the world. It was turning the world upside down, those in Thessalonica said. People were changing their lives. They were following Christ. Everyone, not everyone. Many were rejecting it, but also many were accepting it. So the gospel was preached to every creature. But you and I need to realize that the gospel is to be preached to every creature in every generation. We have new generations coming on the face of the earth all of the time. And every single one needs to hear this good news of salvation that is in Jesus Christ. How do we do that? How do we share the gospel with others? We all realize that indeed we are to share the gospel, teach the gospel to others, tell people about the salvation that's in Christ. But how do we get those conversations started? Well, I think it's interesting that as we read the scriptures, and especially through the book of Acts, we're given some indication. And one of the things that impresses me is that we are to begin with people where they are. Begin with what they know. And then continue to teach and instruct them. In Acts chapter 2, Peter began with what the people knew. They had seen the demonstration of the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles, a sound like a mighty rushing wind, but no wind. They had seen fire descend from heaven and part and come to rest on each of those 12 apostles. They heard the gospel, the apostles speaking in their own language from all over the known world at that time. Hearing these Galileans speaking in their language by a miracle of the Holy Spirit. And they asked, what does this mean? Peter began and showed them that this is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. And the bottom line of Joel's prophecy, and they were all aware of it, this is a phrase that comes up over and over and over again. You'll see as people were teaching people the gospel of Christ. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is an important subject to spiritually minded people. To people who are aware of their sins and realize they need to be forgiven of their sins but don't know how to be forgiven of their sins. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Peter began with that statement of truth that they were familiar with and proclaimed to them the prophecies about the Lord, about the Messiah. And declared unto them finally, this Jesus of Nazareth whom you have crucified is both Lord and Christ. Well, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If Jesus is Lord, then what are we to do? And that's what they asked. They were pricked in their heart and they said, what shall we do? And the divine answer, as the Holy Spirit was giving Peter the answers, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That same day, 3,000 souls were baptized. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And the last verse of Acts chapter 2 says, the Lord added to the church, to the body of the saved, those who were being saved. What were they doing to be saved? They were believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the Savior of mankind, and the Lord. And that the Lord had authorized them to be baptized for the remission of their sins. And they were doing that. So, Peter began with what they knew and then instructed them about the things that they didn't know. In chapter 3, a very similar incident takes place where Peter and John have participated in healing a man who had been lame from birth. He had never walked. But they said, "What we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And he stood up and walked and ran and leaped. And the people were amazed. All of the people of Jerusalem knew this man. They saw him every day. Certainly a notable miracle had been done. How could this have happened? And Peter spoke up and said, "This happened by the power of Jesus Christ." And then showed to them how that Jesus had fulfilled the prophecies about the Messiah and instructed them that they needed to repent. They needed to obey him. In Acts chapter 8, Philip has come to the city of Samaria, and he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes you just have to begin with a blank slate. Philip just came and preached Christ to them and who he was and what they needed to do. And a great many, in fact, so many were baptized that it says nearly all of Samaria had obeyed the gospel, including Simon the sorcerer, you'll remember. A little bit later, you find Philip being told to go himself to the chariot of an Ethiopian treasurer. The treasurer had been in Jerusalem, most likely for Pentecost. And he was returning to his home in northern Africa. The passage says he was reading from Isaiah. And we know that passage would be Isaiah chapter 53 because of what was quoted there. And he said, I pray, who is the prophet talking about here? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about some other man? Because he had heard both sides in Jerusalem. The Christians were declaring that Isaiah 53 prophesied, foretold of the Messiah. And how that he would be wounded for our iniquities. But the Jews who had rejected Jesus were saying, no, he's not talking about the Messiah. He's talking about himself and how that he was rejected of men and so forth. So this Ethiopian treasurer hearing both sides and saying, well, they're both making good arguments. I just don't know which one's right. So he asked Philip, who is this prophet speaking of? And Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. About what they read in the Bible. And you should have questions. Because what we read in the Bible is vastly different than what we see practiced in many religions today. Many people who claim to follow Christ today. And so you should have a question. Well, why is there a difference? And which one am I to believe? Well, we're to believe the Scriptures. And that's what we need to teach people and show people. People have questions. And we need to be ready to give an answer to their questions. In the 10th chapter of Acts, the first time the gospel is authorized to be preached to a Gentile, we find Peter began with what they knew. Verse 37, he says, you have heard about Jesus. You've heard about him. You've heard what's been reported about him, but they hadn't been taught about him. And he preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. How that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he arose on the third day, triumphant over death. And that through his name, through the name of Jesus, whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Once again, Peter began with what the people were familiar with and then taught them what they needed to know. These believed. And when they were told to be baptized, they were. In Acts chapter 11 and verses 19 through 21, interesting passage here, it says, those that were scattered from Jerusalem upon the persecution that began with the stoning of Stephen. Why was Stephen stoned? Because he preached Jesus. Great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem. So much so that the Christians who had remained in Jerusalem, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, were now scattered to their own homes, returning to their own homes. And as they went everywhere preaching the word. The word for which Stephen was stoned, they went preaching. How many times have you been intimidated into being kept still? Afraid to speak up because of what somebody might say or what somebody might do or some consequence that you might experience that you don't want to experience. And so you kept your mouth shut because you didn't want to experience the persecution. The Christians of the first century took the commandment of Christ to heart. Go everywhere preaching the gospel. Regardless of what it might cause them, they were going to preach the word. Colossians 4 and verses 5 through 6 tells Christians to walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. Outside the body of Christ. Walk in wisdom towards them, redeeming the time. We don't have a whole lot of time. Don't assume that you have tomorrow. Yesterday is already gone. Redeem the time. Let your speech always be with grace or favor, seasoned with salt. Salt makes things a little bit more palatable, doesn't it, when we put it on our food? Salt was used as a preservative, primarily, in the first century. It says, when you're speaking to people outside the body of Christ, do so favorably towards them. Do so optimistically, expecting that they want to hear and want to obey the Lord. Speak your words in a way that will preserve them. Speak your words in a way that will be palatable and received with joy by them. We do not ever intentionally want to cause someone to reject the good news of Christ. Let your speech always be with grace or favor, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Speak for their salvation. Speak the truth in love. Love for that lost soul, in expectation that they'll hear and believe and obey. Trust God. I don't know if I can share the gospel with others. Trust God. I don't know if I can remember scriptures and passages and where certain things are found. Trust God. Pray. Be specific in your prayer. Ask God to help your memory. Ask God to grant you wisdom as to how to speak in favor and love towards others. In Matthew 28, again, verses 18 and 20, Jesus, another recording of the Great Commission, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So when you are speaking to someone about the Word of God, their soul, their separation from God, and the reconciliation that God has made possible through the death of His Son, realize that God is with you, that Christ is with you. Believe your prayer. Trust Him. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness." He Himself has said, "I will never be." So we may boldly, we may confidently said, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man might do to me." I don't know how someone's going to receive the message of the gospel. They might receive it humbly, sincerely, penitently, and obediently. Or they might be like some of those at Thessalonica who totally rejected the message of Christ. So much so that they even pursued Paul and Silas to the next city and stirred up trouble there. Might be cast into prison for preaching the gospel. But do not be afraid. God has not left us. He is our helper. And just like we can bring up, as you know, numerous examples of those who were so persecuted that Christ was still with them. Bring them to the Word. There's one thing I emphasize to brothers and sisters in Christ, that when you're talking with someone about the Scriptures, be sure that you've got the Scriptures open. Be sure that they're reading the Scriptures and not just listening to the words that are coming out of their mouth. Just words coming out of your mouth, you've got words coming out of their mouth. They've heard words coming out of lots of people's mouths. You don't want people to be converted to the words coming out of your mouth. You want people converted to Christ, to the Word of God. And there's nothing like coming into your heart, into your eyes, and seeing God Himself. In John 1, verses 45 and 46, it says, "Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him.'" Who had they found? Of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, "Jesus of Nazareth." That's John 1, verses 45 and 46. Remember what John 1, 1 says? "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." Verse 14 of John chapter 1 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us." We have found Him. Who? We have found the Word of God in the flesh. And Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Jesus' citizenship, I guess you might say, was Nazareth. Wasn't a very notable city at that time. If it was noted for anything, it was like nothing good's come out of Nazareth. Philip said, "Come and see. Can I know the Scripture? Can I know the will of God? Can I know what God wants me to do to be saved, to live for Him, to praise Him and honor Him and glorify Him? Come and see. Come and look at what God has given to us. Read it. Study it. Rightly divide it. And most importantly, apply it to your soul, to your life." In Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, you remember with that Ethiopian treasure that Philip opened his mouth beginning at this scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Show them the scriptures. Bring them to the word. Acts 17 and verse 12. Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures. They opened the Old Testament scriptures. They opened the prophecies about the Messiah, about the kingdom of the Messiah, about all of those things. He reasoned with them from the scriptures. If you're going to bring someone to Christ, you do it with the Word of God, with the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. Got a little survey here. Some people did some time ago. Asked people, why do you attend church where you attend church? Now, this is not just churches of Christ. This is all bodies of religious bodies. And here's what they found out. 2% had a special need they thought was being filled in that church. 3% just walked in. We have people just walk into our service. We've had visitors come this morning, just walked in. Doesn't happen very often. You know, and I really appreciate people who do that because they don't know what they're walking into. Don't know anybody here, don't know what's taught. Don't know what they're going to see, what they're going to hear. I really appreciate people who do that. We've got members here who began that way. There are 6% who like the minister. It's not a very high percentage. 1% just happened to visit there once. That's kind of along the line with just walked in. 5% like the Bible classes. 0.5% attended the gospel meeting. We're having a gospel meeting next week to preach the gospel. And you might say that and say, well, why are we doing that? That doesn't have a very high percentage. Well, 0.5% is important. But here's the important one. 3% like the programs. We don't have any particular programs other than special Bible studies and so forth. But 79% were invited. Why do you attend the church that you attend? Well, one of the members there invited me. Are you inviting people to worship with us? Are you inviting people to come to our gospel meeting next week? We have the little, you know, announcements and invitations that are on the table back there. Please take those, use them. If those are all gone, we'll print some more. Use them. Invite people to come. Hear the good news of salvation. Well, I want to close this morning by going back where we started. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, we read, "Continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. Do not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven." The gospel that they heard is the gospel you and I hear from the Bible, from the New Testament, the good news. It's the gospel you and I hear, and we're not to be moved away from it. We participate in that very same thing that was preached to them. We continue to preach it today. But I want you to notice with me the verses preceding this. You who are once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled. In the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. You, He has reconciled to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. You who were alienated, separated from God, enemies of God by our sin, He has reconciled. Reconciled, take an enemy, make him your friend. How did He do that? Through the body of His death. Through the body of His flesh, through death. He paid the price of our sin in His death. So that we can be reconciled to Him. So that we can be presented to Him holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. And He goes on to say then, if you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and do not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. If you continue in the faith, not a faith, not some faith, not your faith, the faith that comes by hearing the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 23. If you continue in the faith, you will be presented holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of humanity? Jesus said, except you repent, you will perish. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Will you turn to Him, turn from your life of sin to walk in His life of righteousness? Turn from the darkness of your life to walk in the light with Him? Will you confess? I'll confess before my Father who is in heaven. Will you be baptized for the remission of your sins? Rise to walk in newness of life and continue steadfastly, grounded and settled in the gospel of Christ, practicing the doctrine of Christ. Just as Jesus said to those who believed on Him in John chapter 8 and verses 30 and 31, if you abide in My word, you are My true disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Will you be free from your sins this day? Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?